structure was proposed.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Bill Ellers. Good afternoon, good evening. I live at 3060 Northwest Wilson. I've come here as a cyclist and pedestrian to oppose any parking garages, particularly on Irving. That's a busy street. Any car traffic just adds to congestion, makes cycling unsafe, makes pedestrian traffic unsafe, and it's just against all the planning commissions and the reasons I live in Portland, to be pedestrian-friendly, cycling-friendly town. Thanks. Please approve the appeal.
Next, we have David Hopkins, Dan Anderson, I believe it is, on 2144 Northwest Flanders. Charles Griss. That's David Hopkins, Dan Anderson, and Charles Griss. Okay, what about Sarah Beach? Matt Kruger. Next, we have Giselle White, John Hanlon, and Don Genasi after them.
Thanks for being here, folks. State your name when you speak. You have 2 minutes.
Sure. Good evening. My name is Dan Anderson, 2144 Northwest Flanders. I'd like to talk to you about setbacks between commercial and residential land uses. In Portland, unlike Houston, we have a zoning code that controls development. And when the code requires that a development occur or not occur in a particular manner, the code describes the purpose of the requirement set out in the code. In part, these purpose statements are intended to guide decision makers when the specific requirements of the code are modified via an adjustment or other process. And generally, adjustments are only allowed if the modification equally or better meets the purpose of the regulation being modified. Bear this in mind when we set out, look at some of the purposes for setback defined in the city's code relative to spacing between commercial and residential uses. They include the maintenance of light and air and the potential for privacy. They include separation to provide for fire protection and access for firefighters and other matters. And since the city has adopted the above purposes in requiring setbacks, its Historic Design Commission, Landmarks Commission, erred badly when it waived the setback requirements for the garage in the planned district's regulation and its approvals with no evidence whatsoever that the waiver and modifications equally or better met the stated purposes of setbacks in the code. As it does in other modifications of development standards, it behooves the city to assure that development will meet these purposes that the regulations are intended to address. That's not the case here. I would encourage you to vote to support the appeal and to take further steps to ensure that the express purposes of the code relative to setbacks are in fact met by this development. Thank you.
Okay. My name is Matt Krieger. I live at 1955 Northwest Raleigh, number 3. Good evening. I want to talk to you briefly about actions of an incumbent city council which modify or reverse the decisions of predecessor councils. Briefly put, it happens with some frequency. In fact, every time the zoning code is amended to change zoning in a particular part of our community, the council adopting the amendment is modifying or reversing the decision of a predecessor council. To go a step further, some of the qualities we celebrate most visibly in Portland involve a council which had the vision to recognize an error in judgment or a change in circumstance, and in doing so, reverse a prior council's position to general betterment of the community. More than 20 years ago, a predecessor council was able to recognize the folly of the Mount Hood Freeway and redirect resources into the initial development of the MAX. One of the real sources of development pride in our city and in our region. The ability to change our mind and to learn from new experience and doing so avoid repeating mistakes of the past is a singular virtue. I call upon you to embrace the virtue which caused our light rail system to be born. Revisit the decisions which led us here this evening. Please vote to support the appeal and this community's best traditions. Thank you.
Mayor Potter, commissioners, my name is Charlie Grist. I live on Northwest Overton Street. And I'll be really brief. I don't think there is a showing of conformance with the city Transportation System Plan, nor Metro's 2040 Transportation Plan. And I think you need some sort of a finding in that regard. Plus, I've got to say that it seems really silly to me in any transportation plan to put a parking garage with that much vehicle entrance and egress on the most busy pedestrian street corner in the district. This is just going to make a lot of tangled up traffic between cars and people on that corner. And it just doesn't seem to me to be a very prudent part of any logically thought out transportation and parking plan for a neighborhood.
Thank you, folks.
I apologize. I skipped Bud Clark and Vera Katz.
You weren't here.
Okay, good.
Well, Vera isn't here in person, but she is.
Okay.
But we have a CD of her voice. So if she'd follow me, and it's set for 3 minutes, so I would like it to be 3 minutes if it would be all right for the former mayor. Not me. I've cut mine back to 2 minutes.
Who else is here to testify then?
Sorry. Was David Hopkins here?
Yes.
You're going to pass. Okay, thank you. Let's go with Giselle White. John Hanlon. Holland, sorry. H-A-L-L-I-N. Giselle or John? About then Don Genasi. Susan Haywood. She's way up there.
My name is Bud Clark. Good evening, Mayor and City Council members. My name is Bud Clark, and I live at 2522 Northwest Northrop. The 1997 Northwest District Plan drew lines of demarcation which defined where housing will be and where commercial will be. The Northwest Plan saved housing and provided the foundation for the commercial prosperity that you see on 21st and 23rd today. The house of five apartments of low-cost housing that will be torn down to build this commercial garage crosses the line onto what I consider sacred ground. To me, if you cross that sacred demarcation line and tear down housing, you build housing, not a garage. That sacred line has been defended by every city council since the plan was adopted in 1977, except the council just before this council. There are two parking facilities on this block, both grandfathered in by the 1977 Northwest Plan. The parking lot behind the Singer Building is an entry only and does not pose the threat to pedestrians that an exit does, but still, it is set back from the property line 2 feet 6 inches. Up the street, Fruit and Flower Daycare has a one-story parking garage. Its entry exit is set back 6 feet 2 inches from the property line. This gives an exiting driver the visibility to see pedestrians on the sidewalk who are approaching the exit without the front of their automobile bumper, hood, and front wheels crossing the sidewalk. Does not this example of a safe exit with a setback of 6 foot 2 inches set a precedent for this block? I would hope so. Why then is this proposed garage to be built right up to the property line with zero setback? A driver exiting from this proposed garage will not be able to see approaching pedestrians until the automobile's front end is all the way across the sidewalk, and an exiting driver will not be able to see a child running down the sidewalk until it's too late and the child is struck. Please consider the safety of children and pedestrians in our neighborhood and have the design of this building follow the setback standards of other buildings in this block and support the appeal. Vote yes. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Jack Hallen. I live at 2174 Northwest Davis. I wasn't prepared to speak, but here I am. I just would like to state my opposition to the parking structure. Northwest 23rd is a vibrant pedestrian street. It's been designed that way. I see it really out of character to be putting a parking garage there and losing the vibrant storefront that's supposed to be there. And instead of inducing car demand into this parking garage, I would suggest you try to reinforce the alternatives, that is, make it a better pedestrian environment instead of a worse one, create better bicycling opportunities throughout the district, and increase the transit to make more people want to take transit there.
Can we put, how do we do, Vera?
Hi. You called me, but I was upstairs. How do you do? My name is Susan Haywood.
I live at 2146 Northwest Everett. I'm a pedestrian in this area, and I want to say that we're addressing a lot of safety issues here. It's already a difficult area for pedestrians when you come to a street corner or any passageway where cars are coming through. Also air quality is a big issue in this area. You can smell the quality of air not being great in the Northwest. You can often smell the benzene. And in parking structures, I think there's an inherent danger. In the parking structures often draw people that are vagrants. Rapes and robberies occur there. So there are three safety issues that I'm worried about with this parking structure, as well as the social and aesthetic aspects. The house that would be torn down is a historic house, and this is a historic district. I know if a private individual wanted to change a historic house in this area, there are lots of rules and regulations and not much leeway. So to be tearing down a really nice house and putting up a parking structure seems totally wrong. The setback also, no landscaping, no visibility. And then the social aspects of housing. There's limited public housing available in the area. There are a lot of nice homes, and some of them are divided, and there are apartments, but there aren't a lot available, and they are being condominiumized. Finally, public transport is already good in this area, so I don't think that we should be bringing cars into the area. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to ask permission for the CD of Mayor Katz's remarks to be played, if it could be.
Any objections?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I know her voice is louder than that.
So do I. We will wait as long as it takes.
Commissioner Leonard may have exaggerated that point about waiting as long as it takes.
I can't get it on.
It would not be pleasant if we didn't hear her.
Maybe we could take testimony.
Is there a way to work on it while we listen to other folks talk, Carla?
Yeah, hold on.
if she's watching, she could call in.
Give me your number.
I just want to note for the record that this is as quiet as it's ever been in a room full of Northwest neighborhood advocates in my life.
I don't know what's wrong. It says it's playing, but there's no sound.
We have another computer that might play on.
Okay. You want to take that?
While you're setting that up, we're going to call up some other folks to testify.
Okay, next we have Norwood Chapman, Professor Sam Oakland, and Spencer Burton. Norwood Chapman, Professor Oakland.
Call the next two names.
Please. And Spencer Burton. Oh, looks like he's upstairs.
So where's the third party then?
That's all who signed up.
Sam, why don't you go ahead?
May I speak, Mr. Mayor? My name is Sam Oakland. I live at 3446 Northwest Thurman in Portland, Oregon. I discovered Portland in 1964 and came here in 66 to live and to die. And I will die in this place, if not somewhere else in the world. I grew up in Detroit, Michigan. 2 million people, an exciting, visible place with trolley cars everywhere. Detroit Edison was a very nice company. It will give you light bulbs if yours burned out. If one of your fixtures burned out on electric from Detroit Edison, it would fix your machine or whatever for the cost of the part, no service charge. Then, just before the Korean War, they started building freeways all over Detroit and parking structures. They did put in the John Lodge, the Walter Chrysler, and the Edsel freeways, destroyed the neighborhoods, put clover leaves everywhere and parking structures, and Detroit went from 2 million people to 500,000 people in a destroyed city. The automobile destroyed Detroit with the help of parking structures and all that go with parking structures. I ask you not to put a parking structure in my historic neighborhood. I don't want to die here knowing one was built in my neighborhood. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Joe Meyer. I'm coming from 1915 Southeast Alder. Good evening, gentlemen. I'm happy to be here tonight. I love living in Portland. I love when I get to come up here and talk to you guys. It's not so easy in some cities. I want you to support the appeal. Vote yes. I think this kind of microzoning is basically stealing. And if my neighbor is stolen from, I'll come across the river and say so. People bought into that neighborhood with certain zoning, and just as they're restricted in what they can do to their homes, they must be protected on what their neighbors do on theirs. If I stand by and allow my neighbor to be stolen from, perhaps I will be tomorrow, or maybe it was last Monday. I ask you to vote yes. Don't let this structure be built. Reform BDC, and let us have happy lives here in beautiful Portland. Thank you.
Gentlemen, my name is Spencer Burton. I've lived off and on in the Northwest neighborhood since 1987, but between my junior and senior year at University of Oregon. I've seen a lot of changes in this neighborhood. I'm sure you have. Sam used to live in the neighborhood. He's seen a lot of changes. And I would just like to speak out against having up to a half a dozen garages built in our neighborhood. It's not a good neighbor. I think we've already got enough traffic. I think we've already got well than enough retail space. I think it's already built out. I think if we start to add more parking, I think it's not for us in the neighborhood. I think it's for people that come outside of the neighborhood. I'd like you to consider us that live there. You know, we had one fatality this year in that neighborhood, and it's because of the traffic on 23rd Street. If you go across 23rd Street, you got to hurry across because there's a lot of traffic. And I just don't think that it adds to the livability of our neighborhood, and I think that should be considered first. And that's what I'd like to say. Thank you.
Thank you, folks. Do we have Mayor Katz on there?
Yeah, just put it by the mic.
64. The neighborhood has survived many changes. When we started this, I told you all that this is a neighborhood that I live in. And I've lived in the neighborhood since 1964. The neighborhood has survived many challenges and fought so hard to preserve the best parts of what's so unique about it. It is the densest neighborhood in this community. There are no NIMBYs in Northwest Portland. It is a prosperous community in terms of housing and housing starts as well as businesses. And it has become a destination retail. Area planning is supposed to maintain quality of life. I think the traffic impacts that the council supported will have a negative quality of life and hurt the transportation efforts that this council wants to maintain. Even though there was support on this council, unanimous support, for commercial lots to be converted into parking garages, you supported the construction of parking structures on a residentially zoned land, and a house will come down. We've granted zero setbacks and taller parking structures adjacent to residential areas, even going so far as removing the ability of design review to consider the impacts of the neighborhoods. No other neighborhood in the city of Portland has to be subjected or has ever been subjected to these kinds of low standards. I hope that we all realize that the message this sends to other neighborhoods is that they all are in peril. I have to smile when I hear people saying we need garages to reduce traffic. That is not the Portland way. We've invested millions and millions of dollars to keep the cars out of neighborhoods, to keep people out of the cars and give them choices. We invested $40 million on the streetcar right in the heart of Northwest and the best bus system in the city. And yet we argue here on the council, and many of you have argued, that, well, that's not enough. We need to get the traffic off, and the only way we can do that is by building garages. That's absolutely insane, and quite frankly, it is not the Portland way.
Excuse me, folks. Hey, if you don't clap, if you want to show support, please wave your hand like that. Thank you. We'll now hear from the principal opponent. Please come forward.
Good
Folks, would you not block the city attorney's view, please? Thank you. You folks ready?
Yes, we are.
Okay. State your name when you speak, and you have a total of 15 minutes.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Commissioners. The name is Jeff Stewart with Holst Architecture, located at 110 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. I'm representing the Singer Properties as lead designer, and together with at the table with me here is Tim Ramos with Ramos Corrigan Crew, our lead counsel. I would like to very quickly recognize the efforts and work of the Landmarks Commission, Design Review staff, staff bureaus of planning and transportation. Also at this moment, to also recognize the considerable efforts of the Nob Hill Business Association and the Northwest District Association. The participation of all these people have led to what I believe is a very successful project and has helped us meet all the planning goals and district design guidelines for the Northwest District and Alphabet Historic District. About the Neighborhood Association, I want to commend them on their efforts. They were with us all along. Their voices, I think, help assure a top-quality design, and that should not go unmentioned. I think the public process really was honored in this case. We listened to many other suggestions, and were able to incorporate many of those changes into our plans, as staff acknowledged. Staff also did a very thorough job of outlining all the relevant zoning criteria for this project. They've done also an excellent job of defining the specific design criteria for which you should base your deliberations tonight. Some people may continue to object to the proposed parking use by dismissing in this public forum the considerable attributes of our design. Many of the comments that you heard tonight by previous testimony really kind of centered around public policy and the past discussions that went on in this very chamber, and I hope that you can distinguish between that and some of the design issues here. I also would like to say that the record shows that many of the people that have opposed this project have publicly, through media, but also to me in private, come up afterwards and commended the design. And I appreciate those statements from those people. We've worked hard to honor some of their wishes in this situation regarding materials and the appearance of this garage. I should remind you that this process started over 5 years ago. 2001 is when I first started working on the project. So it is a challenge to get all this testimony into 15 minutes. I'm going to try my best. As you recall, back in 2002, Historic District was still in its infancy. And the ink had barely begun to dry on the final provisions of the newly adopted district plan. As a result of that plan, we've come up with a design that we're very proud of. And it was a challenge, of course. We've got a site that has very specific and extensive set of criteria tied to this site. And it's, in particular, it's a very tight and restrictive site. I mean, 10,000 square feet is unusually small, I'd say, for parking garages in Portland. As a result of that, obviously, I think anybody would struggle with trying to get a structured parking design into this area. Also, as a result of the tight set of rules that kind of govern structured parking design, this has to do with ramping, the parking space dimensions that we must live with, and allowing generous enough aisles for free movement through the garage. The result is that we want to make sure that we have a functioning and viable garage at the end of this process. In spite of these challenges, though, I really do believe that we have a design in front of you that will be among the most handsome garages in Portland and will be a precedence in the future for future small garages should they be designed. Let me quickly go over some of the grand design criteria that we went through. All our design complies with all the relevant zoning criteria. I want to make that clear. We have met all the criteria. These requirements such as height, setback, maximum floor area, and allowed use is already part of the adopted code. We have not asked for any special provisions to build this garage. These provisions are especially set forth in the city's zoning ordinance that was adopted in 2003, in Chapter 33, 33562, the Northwest Plan District. I also want to tell you that this design was thoroughly debated and thoroughly vetted in front of the Historic Landmarks Commission. There were four meetings that we attended with the Landmarks Commission. We've gone over and over many of these provisions that were brought up today. Out of that came a 5-1 vote. I think that was significant. I also would like to point out that all the relevant zoning code provisions that are on the code that this council adopted have thoroughly been vetted at the state level through LUBA, through the State Court of Appeals, all the way up to the Oregon Supreme Court, and have always come back and upheld the code that this council put into place. I also want to say that this design upholds the comprehensive plan's urban design goals, which specifically calls for addressing the scarcity of parking in Northwest. And that plan also said, made the statement that there was a shortage of 3,000 spaces. This modest garage is only adding 105 spaces to that district. I think it's a good first step. Let me very quickly go over some of the design of the garage and highlight some of the significant architectural responses. First of all, I wanted to review the pertinent desired characteristics and tradition statements from the Northwest District Plan. This sets up the framework for our design. Those characteristics call for buildings located up against sidewalks, and I'm quoting directly from the plan, large storefront windows, awnings, entrances at the sidewalk level, cornices or ornamented parapets, masonry construction, and buildings of 1 to 4 stories. You'll see in front of you right here our plan, and I think you've got it in your packets in front of you as well. We meet every one of those desired characteristics and traditions. Furthermore, I also want to point out, as was pointed out in the staff findings, is that the massing scale and placement of this building is consistent with all the Main Street streetcar development patterns. The massing of the building as well has further been reduced, mostly by the offset and the idea of trying to create across this 100-foot frontage what appears to be two separate buildings. Both those buildings, and I'll show you the red line that's at the top there, are well below the established heights in this area. And as you might recall, council specifically lowered the height for this site on the westerly half of the street or of the facade there. That height allows 30 feet right there. The front of our facade there is 23 feet 6 inches. So we've come in substantially lower that in deference to the adjacent neighborhood. This 50-foot frontage is also a standard up and down Northwest 23rd Street. It fits in that same cadence of many of the historical buildings in that district. I also want to discuss the transition of this building into the historic neighborhood. You can see not only does it come down, we've intentionally, in a somewhat abstract way, I will admit, but we have also met some of the desired characters and traditions of the Nob Hill District by doing special brick patterning in this area and allowing ornamental metalwork to kind of recall the historical Victorian front porches in that area. This also distinguishes the differences between the two garage. Therefore, I believe that this building is in conformance with the requirements that council placed on this, primarily around height and quality put into that. We also made a very strong commitment to use high-quality materials on this building. It is an all-masonry building. We've carried that masonry around all four sides of the building. Most buildings in zero lot line conditions like this will cheapen their materials as they go back on the sides and the rear of the building. Often it's just painted CMU block. We have carried that same brick all the way around the building. We've continued with our historical brick patterning as well in that situation. In this case, we have also met with all the adjacent neighbors in this area. Dick Singer, the owner of this project, and also myself, and had very, very thorough conversations with those neighbors. There was a question that was brought up about whether this was conditioned on landscaping on the neighbors' yards. We were by no means conditioned on that. In that case, what we've always said is that we're willing to work with the neighbors and put additional landscaping on their property should they want it. In this case, in most cases, my client has entered into agreements with the neighbors to add trellises, climbing vines, shrubs should they want them. We've also used other high-quality materials, including the precast concrete cornice, when cheaper metal coping is usually used, high-quality steel sash windows, which you see on the easterly side, ornamented metal railings, and fabric awnings. These, again, are all part of the district characteristics. We've employed fine-grained details. We've used patterned brick materials that are very reminiscent of other parking garages in the neighborhood. I know I am running out of time. Other common design elements, the steel sash windows, really recall some of these other auto-oriented buildings that have been in this neighborhood since 1905. There has been an auto-oriented presence in this building, and this building will fit nicely into that area, as well as the other historical buildings in that way. We have also taken into consideration design for pedestrians and pedestrian scale. The cadence and rhythm of the solid brick piers across the front of that building recalls many of the buildings in the district, Northwest 23rd Street in particular, and the other streetcar main streets. Upper-level windows are offered in this case, one, to deal with such off-site impacts such as noise. We have full glazing in those openings. Brick lattice work on this area also will help with ventilation of that garage. Our mechanical ventilation is completely entombed inside the building. It's not outside on top of this building as well. Most importantly, it's public safety. Along the bottom ground floor, you'll notice that over 80% of this store of the storefront is glazed. This is clear glass. Cars and pedestrians are going to have clear interaction back and forth. And I have some additional sight lines here that I can show you. This is our situation right here. I kind of call it the rising sun diagram, but as cars approach those, this sidewalk right here, there's a combination of planter strips and also vision glass through that area that I think more than adequately solves the safety problem there. This is your standard condition in garages throughout most of downtown and the central city, where usually there isn't this kind of side bay vision that comes through the garage because these center areas, this is the Alder Street garage, by the way, downtown. So this is our common area, and I think that our windows will help allow for that negotiation between the pedestrian and that. We also want to point out that there are other means to solve the safety issue, and that is speed bumps at the actual garage as we exit, signage inside, audible signals. These are all things that will be worked out during the permit process. We've already talked and initiated conversations with transportation, the Bureau of Transportation on this. That will all be facilitated. I'm going to let Tim kind of follow up here on some remarks about this as well, and I would certainly be open to any questions from you that you have about this garage. I would ask for your support in this project and would ask that you deny the appeal. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Tim Ramos on behalf of the applicant. My address is 1727 Northwest Hoyt in Portland. I want to make three quick points. First, ask you to hearken back to the comments of the city attorney about the limitations of the hearing, that the case is to be decided on the adopted criteria. Much of what you've heard today is a re-argument of the policy questions that were debated originally when the Northwest parking policy was put in place. Those arguments are no longer before you and not part of the dispute. These are claims like parking is not needed anymore, the use is inherently inappropriate, rental housing will be lost, historic structures will be lost, comp plan policies prohibit the use, setbacks should be changed. All of those are beyond the scope of this hearing because they were decided earlier. The city successfully defended those positions, and now the issue is simply compliance with the design criteria. Second, the second floor window requirement, we join with the staff. We think they've taken the right approach in suggesting a modification to that requirement. It is something that the Landmarks Commission looked at carefully and felt that that was the best design. The staff has presented to you an argument, which I think is the correct one, that the design is superior. I want to respond to Mr. Bradley's claim that the window modification standard is not met. I know that was a well-intended argument, but it misses the mark because he has cited the ground floor window requirement. And we are asking for a modification to the second floor windows on Main Street requirement, which is modifiable. And therefore, I ask you to adopt the findings as suggested by your staff. Finally, a third matter, and this is the question of whether setbacks should be increased. The setbacks were determined, as Mayor Katz said, legislatively. She is correct in her statement there. They are set at zero, and they are not a part of your discretion today to change. That was a legislative decision that's now final and been appealed and upheld on appeal.
Questions from the commissioners? I have a question that has to do with the some of the discussion I heard about daily vehicle trips in the area, the schools, day centers. Obviously, parking lots don't exist in vacuums. Did you folks look at that and see how to mitigate the impact of both the vehicles as well as the issue about the high pedestrian usage of that area?
Yeah, let me begin on that and then we'll turn to the design. The baseline for that discussion was study by PDOT, originally during the legislative process, where the issue was raised and examined in some detail. And PDOT Mr. Birchfield has done a study of traffic impact in the area and concluded that even if you assume an additional 121 spaces west new spaces west of 23rd, which exceeds anything being proposed, that there's not a significant impact on the traffic system, no lowering of the level of service, and only a 0.7 tenths of a second additional delay at the critical intersection of Gleason and 23rd. So the traffic analysis was done earlier. Since that time, we've had Kittleson look at the access in detail, as did the Landmarks Commission. The Landmarks Commission required that 80% of the front of that building be glass, so that you could see through it, and that's what these illustrations show, and Jeff can show them to you. Second, Kittleson examined it, and their expert opinion was that it would function safely with minimal impact on pedestrians. That's in your record.
One question, Mr. Mayor?
Please.
Tim, I don't think I quite heard you right, but I might have heard your remarks to essentially argue that there's no grounds by which this council could object to this design because it was legislatively written in. Is that what you meant to say?
I said that that's true with respect to the setback. There's a suggestion.
What would be the areas you consider discretionary under the code the council adopted?
Well, they are the design criteria. Those are the tests that were used by the Landmarks Commission. Now, those are certainly the applicable criteria and the ones you have to make a judgment on. Our view is that in order to deny the application, you have to identify some specific feature of the design and relate it to the specific language of the criteria and explain to us why we don't measure up. Because as an applicant, we have the right to know exactly what would need to be changed in order to meet the criteria.
Well, that's a secondary argument to what I was asking. I guess, are you aware of any other place where the council has legislated setbacks in a specific split zone site?
Well, the council's adopted policy is that in a split zone site like this, the provisions of the CS zone apply. That's longstanding policy. So a zero setback applies on the front, and that's the first example, I think. That's not unusual, and it's what you've done for years.
Can you give me some other sites where that's happened then?
Well, it's a policy in this zone, and with respect to...
Is that the policy citywide, or is that in the Northwest plan?
It applies to all, I believe, all.
No, it's specific to the Northwest District plan. And Eric, just for your information...
So, Tim, you were not correct on that last statement that this is a citywide standard way of operating.
It's historically the way it's operated in the Northwest. It's not simply a product
but
of the
last decision. Your statement was this is how we do this citywide.
I think, Eric, the confusion there was, if I'm sorry to interrupt, but
I'm not confused.
On the CS zone, the base on CS zone is what I think Tim is answering in that case, zero setbacks. That's citywide for all CS zone lots. This side yard and rear yard setback was adopted by this council in this situation when policy was specifically discussed with these parking sites. And on this site, you'll see the trade-off is that the policy limited height in this area because the only way to build a parking garage was that you needed that 100-plus feet to make a parking garage viable.
And that's right, I was actually on the legislative body at the time, so I know the legislative intent pretty well. I mean, I think the legislative intent, to be blunt, was to allow a parking garage on this site. And so I guess what I'm getting at is both the decision to say the CS prevails and that's the piece, and that the zero setback as a legislative decision was designed specifically to allow this garage to be built, because if you followed citywide standards, which I think you incorrectly, in all fairness, Mr. Ramos just represented, you couldn't build this parking garage on this site. And so the question, the council legislated the ability to put a parking garage where frankly you couldn't just about anywhere else based on basic city norms. The question now in front of us and in front of me as somebody who objected to that decision is whether or not this meets the design criteria, because I agree with you completely. Now this parking garage is allowed. And so I'm trying to get at, in your opinion, what would be the fair design standards to view this on. But I don't think it's fair to represent or imply that this is a standard type of garage site, that general city policy would allow a garage to be built. I just don't think that would
work. No, that's not my argument. My argument is that the council made a specific policy decision, which was that the city would avoid mega sites in this area and instead use small ones. In order to make small ones work, they had to be tiny, and they were on tiny sites, and they had to use the entirety of the footprint of the site. It was therefore necessary in order to make them work to modify the setbacks. That was the policy.
When you say them, are any of the other six sites specifically?
Three of the six sites, the council found that to be the case. They were the smallest sites.
And they specifically had the exact same criteria. I mean, this one I don't remember.
Right. All three of them reduced the setback to zero and contained the statement in the text that the minimums may not be increased.
I thought that was just on the side and back.
It is with respect to the side and the back. That's in the plan district. It was not necessary to include that language with respect to the front setback because that's controlled by the CS zone, which is zero.
Yeah, I agree with
the question.
Yeah, I'm done. Thank you very much.
Mr. Adams.
I think there'll be some other testimony in other parts of the city that actually do have these modifications, not citywide, but parts of specific areas of the city.
Did your transportation analysis include a study of pedestrians, traffic?
I don't believe there was a count. And, of course, I think the main point with respect to that is it's not a requirement.
That's all I wanted to know.
Okay. I just want to make the record to be clear that it's not a requirement of design review that we do a transportation analysis at all.
I understand. But you did reference a transportation analysis, and I just wanted to clarify whether it included pedestrian counts. Thanks. And is Kruger here?
He's hiding behind our drawings, yes.
If I could just clarify one point, yes. If it's all right. Did your analysis of this or of your section within PDOT include an analysis of pedestrian counts?
No.
Thank you.
So I was following the line of question until this point, so I want to understand, is pedestrian counts part of the information that would relate to the criteria for which we could make a judgment?
Not in the approval criteria that we review in the design review, no.
So maybe I can ask any of you answer what relationship would having or not having pedestrian counts have with what we are charged with doing here tonight? Or if Commissioner Adams wants to answer that.
And then I can answer.
Or if you want to just answer that, that would help me understand your
question. To answer the question from our perspective, the analysis of transportation issues, be they pedestrian counts or auto counts, none of that is required or historically has been required in design review or historic design review cases in the city.
Okay, so I am interested in Commissioner Adams' reasoning.
Pedestrian safety, location, design issues, in my opinion, are criteria under which we have judgment.
Sam, that is part of the design review as well, at least in the design sense. And that's why those discussions at Landmarks centered around the openness of the ground floor, issues such as the parking that we've put in the building frontage zone as well. It's 2 feet deep, so that keeps the pedestrian away from the building line here.
I got your presentation. I think
great.
I understand.
So that was discussed throughout the process.
It's my understanding that pedestrian safety, as it relates to the design of the proposal, is a topic for discussion at the various stages of this process, including here.
And I'm not arguing one side or another. I'm trying to understand what the interpretation maybe of a city attorney is on this point, if she can help me on this. Because I'm actually hearing two different things right now, and I'd like to just understand from your perspective what the weight, if any, is given to a pedestrian count in the decision that we're making.
There's nothing in the approval criteria or application requirements for design review that requires them to submit a traffic study or pedestrian counts. Issues relating to dealing with the building's relationship to the pedestrian network are part of the design criteria. There's one design criterion called the pedestrian network. It says create an efficient, pleasant, and safe network of sidewalks and paths for pedestrians. There's another criterion, D4, that talks about locate parking in a manner that minimizes negative impacts on the community and its pedestrians. Correct. So pedestrian safety itself can be relevant to the design criteria.
That's helpful.
We argue that it's certainly relevant to consider pedestrian traffic. It's not a requirement of a submission.
I see.
That's why we've introduced some expert opinion on the subject.
Okay. It's not, what was that last four words?
That we introduced expert opinion on the subject of safety.
Last eight words.
that it is not a requirement, but it is relevant.
Got it. Thank you.
Yes.
I agree with that.
Yes. I'd be curious to get some feedback, maybe from Kurt, certainly the opponent, and I know the appellants are going to be coming up later. But I saw somebody in written testimony, or maybe several people, made the point in support of the garage that the danger of having people sort of circulating around Northwest Portland blocks looking for a parking space is, in fact, a hazard to pedestrians, too. And I know that from my own search for parking spaces anywhere in town. When you're looking for a parking space, you're looking a block down the street, you're looking for some brake lights to go on, and your peripheral vision is frankly not that well-tuned. I just wonder, is there any way of quantifying that from a pedestrian safety point of view, or is it just intuitively, to my mind anyway, a good argument?
Commissioner Saltzman, good question. We don't have any specific data. I'd state the obvious as well. Anytime you have a vehicle crossing a pedestrian crossing, be it at a sidewalk or at a crosswalk, you're going to create a conflict, and there is a certain amount of safety in jeopardy at that location. We don't have anything that specifically says having a parking garage is going to reduce those vehicles. Intuitively, yes. Parking in a garage versus driving around a neighborhood looking for a particular place to park there would be a reduction in the pedestrian conflicts at the street intersections.
How come there seems to be such a disconnect between the issue of pedestrian and vehicular traffic in an area where that's not even a consideration?
I'd like to answer that, because there is a tradition, and I think an accurate tradition in traffic engineering in this nation, where when you do a transportation study, it does not, by tradition, include a study of pedestrians or even bicycle usage in the right-of-way. And I think that is faulty and does not capture a complete picture of right-of-way safety issues. But please answer it from your point of view.
Well said, Commissioner Adams. I couldn't agree more that we ought to have better ways of measuring pedestrian and bicycle, both congestion and safety. There are a number of jurisdictions that are working on this throughout the country. BDOT's working with consultants right now to find better ways to measure this. Unfortunately, we don't have intersections with signals to measure pedestrians like we do with vehicles. So putting engineering numbers on pedestrians is a much more difficult task, and I wish we had something that was a little bit better.
Sam, lacking those numbers, though, I want to underscore that we took every effort into consideration in this area to deal with that pedestrian safety issue. And we're willing to do more based on the recommendations that Kittleson made in their memo. And this has been discussed with the neighborhood as well. There were some concerns whether they wanted an audible signal or not wanting one. They kind of came up with favoring not having one, but this is still something that can be handled in the permitting process when we endeavor to take that next step.
Further questions?
Thank you.
Thank you, folks.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to let the record to reflect that we've asked to be included in the record the Kittleson technical memo of February 15, the supplemental findings for modification, both of which I think the city attorney have, a copy of my testimony, and the traffic analysis from PDOT dated June 9, 2003. And I'll make sure the city attorney has all those.
No, we have it in front of us.
How many folks have signed up for the
25.
As with the last grouping, testimony will be restricted to 2 minutes each. Please call the first three people.
Our first three are Rob Friedman, Walt McMoneys, and Deborah Haynes. They'll be followed by Mike Lindberg, Aaron, I believe it's Babney, and Thane Tienson.
Thanks for being here, folks. When you speak, please state your name for the record. You each have 2 minutes.
I go first.
Yeah, please.
My name's Rob Friedman. I live on Thurman Street and have for the last 17 years. I own a small business on 23rd and Irving called Urbino,